apologies, Mr. Fahey. A habit one develops in the barrel. Trust but verify. Or don't trust at all, muttered Matthias. Weiland? Kaz repeated. Weiland set his satchel down on the table. If they'd known about the passage, they would have followed us, or had people waiting in the printmaker shop. We lost them. I counted about 10 on the roof, said Kaz, and Matthias nodded confirmation.
Sounds right, said Jesper. But I can't be sure. They had the sun at their backs.
Kaz sat down, his black eyes focused on Jesper's father.
You were the bait.
Pardon, lad?
The bank called in your loan.
Colm blinked, surprised.
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, they sent me a rather sternly worded letter that I'd become an unstable credit risk. They said that if I didn't pay in full, they would be forced to take legal action.
He turned to his son.
I wrote to you, Jess.
His voice was confused, not accusing.
I haven't been able to collect mail.
After Jesper had stopped attending university, had he still managed to receive letters there? Nina wondered how he'd maintained this ruse for so long. It would have been made easier by the fact that Colm was an ocean away, and by his desire to believe in his son. An easy mark, Nina thought sadly. No matter his reasons, Jesper had been conning his own father.
Jesper, said Colm. I was trying to get the money, da.
They're threatening to take the farm. Jesper's eyes were firmly fixed on the tomb floor.
I was close. I am close.
To the money? Now Nina heard Colm's frustration. We're sitting in a tomb. We were just shot at.
What got you on a ship to Ketterdam?
Kaz asked.
The bank moved up the collection date, Colm said indignantly. Simply said I'd run out of time. I tried to reach Jesper, but when there was no reply, I thought...
You thought you'd see what your brilliant boy was up to, here on the dark streets of Ketterdam.
I feared the worst. The city does have a reputation.
Well deserved, I promise you,
said Kaz.
And when you arrived?
I made inquiries at the university. They said he wasn't enrolled, so I went to the constabulary. Jesper winced.
Oh, duh. The Stadwatch?
Colm crushed his hat with fresh vigor.
And where was I supposed to go, Jess? You know how dangerous it is for someone like you.
Duh,
Jesper said, looking his father in the eye at last.
You didn't tell them I'm...
Of course not.
Grisha, why won't either of them say it? Colm threw down the lump of felt that had been his hat.
I don't understand any of this. Why would you bring me to this horrible place? Why were we shot at? What has become of your studies?
What has become of you? Jesper opened his mouth, closed it.
Duh, I... It was my fault,
Weiland blurted. Every eye turned to him.
He was concerned about the bank loan, so he put his studies on hold to work with,
Local gunsmith, Nina offered.
Nina,
Matthias rumbled warningly.
He needs our help,
she whispered.
To lie to his father?
It's a fib, totally different.
She had no idea where Weiland was going with this, but he was clearly in need of assistance.
Yes, said Weiland eagerly. A gunsmith, and then I told him about a deal.
They were swindled,
Kaz said. His voice was as cold and steady as ever, but he held himself stiffly, as if walking over uncertain ground.
They were offered a business opportunity that seemed too good to be true.
Colm slumped into a chair.
If it seems that way, then...
It probably is,
said Kaz. Nina had the strangest sense that for once, he was being sincere.
Did you and your brother lose everything?
Colm asked Weiland.
My brother?
Weiland asked blankly.
Your twin brother?
Kaz said with a glance at Kuei, who sat quietly observing the proceedings.
Yes, they lost everything. Wyland's brother hasn't spoken a word since.
Does seem the quiet type, Combs said. And are you all, students?
Of a sort, said Kaz.
Who spend your free hours in a graveyard? Can we not go to the authorities? Tell them what happened. These swindlers may have other victims.
Well, Wyland began.
But Kaz silenced him with a look.
A strange hush fell in the tomb. Kaz took a seat at the table. The authorities can't help you, he said. Not in this city.
Why not?
Because the law here is profit. Jesper and Wyland tried to take a shortcut. The Stadwatch won't so much as wipe their tears. Sometimes, the only way to get justice is to take it for yourself.
And that's where you come in.
Kaz nodded.
We're going to get your money. You won't lose your farm.
But you're going to step outside the law to do it, Colm said.
He shook his head wearily.
You barely look old enough to graduate. Ketterdam was my education. And I can tell you this. Jesper never would have turned to me for help if he'd had anywhere else to go.
You can't be so bad, boy, said Colm gruffly.
You haven't been alive long enough to rack up your share of sin. I'm a quick study.
Can I trust you?
No.
Colm took up his crumpled hat again.
Can I trust you to help Jesper through this?
Yes.
Colm sighed. He looked around at all of them. Nina found herself standing up straighter.
You lot make me feel very old.
Spend a little more time in Ketterdam, said Kaz. You'll feel ancient.
Then he tilted his head to one side, and Nina saw that distant, considering look cross his features.
You have an honest face, Mr. Fahey.
Colm shot Jesper a puzzled glance.
Well, I should hope so, and thank you for marking it.
It's not a compliment, said Jesper. And I know that look, Kaz. Don't you dare start those wheels spinning.
Kaz's only response was a slow blink. Whatever scheme had been set in motion in his diabolical brain, it was too late to stop it now.
Where are you staying?
The Ostrich.
It isn't safe to go back there. We're moving you to the Geldrunner Hotel. We'll register you under a different name.
But why?
Colm sputtered.
Because some people want Jesper dead. And they already used you to lure him out of hiding once. I have no doubt they'd be willing to take you hostage. And there's too much of that going around already.
Kaz scribbled a few instructions to Roddy and handed him a very thick stack of Kruger.
Feel free to take your meals in the dining room, Mr. Fahey. But I'd ask that you forgo the sights and stay inside the hotel until we contact you. If anyone asks your business, you're here for a bit of rest and relaxation.
Colm considered Roddy, and then Kaz. He expelled a decisive breath.
No. I thank you. But this is a mistake.
He turned to Jesper.
We'll find another way to pay the debt. Or we'll start over somewhere else.
You're not giving up the farm,
Jesper said. He lowered his voice.
She's there. We can't leave her.
Please,
Da. Please let me make this right. I know...
He swallowed, his bony shoulders bunching.
I know I let you down. Just give me one more chance.
Nina suspected he wasn't only speaking to his father.
We don't belong here, Jess. This place is too loud, too lawless. Nothing makes sense.
Mr. Fahey,
Kaz said quietly.
You know what they say about walking in a cow pasture?
Jesper's brows shot up, and Nina had to stifle a nervous laugh. What did the bastard of the barrel know about cow pastures?
Keep your head down and watch your step,
Colm replied. Kaz nodded.
Just think of Ketterdam as a really big cow pasture.
The barest smile tugged at the furrow of Colm's mouth.
Give us 3 days to get your money and get you and your son out of Kirch safely.
Is that really possible?
Anything can happen in this city.
That thought doesn't fill me with confidence.
He rose, and Jesper shot to his feet.
Da?
3 days, Jesper. Then we go home. with or without the money.
He rested a hand on Jesper's shoulder.
And for Saint's sake, be careful, all of you.
Nina felt a sudden lump in her throat. Matthias had lost his family to war. Nina had been taken from her family to train when she was just a little girl. Wieland had been as good as evicted from his father's house. Kuei had lost his father and his country.
And Kaz?
She didn't want to know what dark alley Kaz had crawled out of. But Jesper had somewhere to go. Someone to take care of him. Somebody to say it's going to be all right. She had a vision of golden fields beneath a cloudless sky. A clabbered house protected from the wind by a line of red oaks. Someplace safe. Nina wished Colm Fahey could march over to Jan Van Eck's office and tell him to give Inej back or get a mouthful of knuckles. She wished someone in this city would help them out, that they weren't so alone. She wished Jesper's father could take them all with him. She'd never been to Novia Zem, but the longing for those golden fields felt just like homesickness.
Silly,
she told herself.
Childish.
Kaz was right. If they wanted justice, they would have to take it for themselves. That didn't ease the starved heart pang in her chest. But then Colm was saying his goodbyes to Jesper and disappearing through the stone graves with Roddy and Specht. He turned to wave and was gone.
I should go with him,
Jesper said, hovering in the doorway.
You already almost got him killed once,
said Kaz. Do we know who set up the ambush at the university? Wieland asked.
Jesper's father went to the Stadwatch, said Matthias. I'm sure many of the officers are susceptible to bribes.
True, said Nina. But it can't be coincidence that the bank called in his loan when they did.
Wieland sat down at the table.
If the banks are involved, my father may be behind it. Pekka Rollins has influence at the banks, too,
Kaz said, and Nina saw his gloved hand flex over the crow's head of his cane.
Could they be working together? She asked.
Jesper rubbed his hands over his face.
All the saints and your Aunt Eva, let's hope not.
I'm not ruling anything out,
said Kaz.
But none of this changes what has to happen tonight. Here.
He reached inside one of the niches in the wall.
My revolvers!
Jesper exclaimed, clutching them to his chest.
Oh, hello, you gorgeous things.
His grin was dazzling.
You got them back. The safe at the Cumulus is an easy crack.
Thank you, Kaz.
Thank you.
Any hint of the warmth Kaz had shown Jesper's father was gone. As fleeting as the dream of those golden fields.
What good is a shooter without his guns?
Kaz asked, seeming oblivious to the way Jesper's smile collapsed.
You've been in the red too long. We all have. This is the night we start paying our debts.
Now night had fallen, and they were on their way to do just that. A waxing moon glaring down at them like a white and watchful eye. Nina shook out her sleeves. The cold snap had broken, and they were in the middle of a proper late spring. Or what passed for that in Kirch. The moist, claustrophobic warmth of an animal's mouth relieved only by brief, unpredictable storms. Matthias and Jesper had left for the docks early to make sure the gondol was in place. Then they'd all headed to the launch point, leaving Kuei on Black Vale with Roddy and Specht. The boat cut silently through the water. Ahead, Nina could see the gleam of lights guiding them onward. Jesper's revolvers were back at his hips, and both he and Matthias had rifles slung across their shoulders. Kaz had a pistol in his coat and that demonic cane, and Nina saw Wieland rest a hand on his satchel. It was packed with explosives, flash bombs, and who knew what else.
We better be right about all this, Wieland said on a sigh. My father is going to be ready. I'm counting on it,
Kaz replied. Nina let her fingers brush against the grip of the pistol tucked into the pocket of her light spring coat. She had never needed a gun before, never wanted to carry one.
Because I was the weapon.
But she didn't trust herself now. Her control over her power felt flimsy, like she kept reaching for something that was just a bit farther away than she'd thought.
She needed to know it would be there tonight. She couldn't make a mistake,
not when Inej's life depended on it. Nina knew that if she'd been on Velgaluk, the battle would have gone differently. Inej never would have been taken if Nina had been strong enough to face Van Eck's henchmen. And if she'd had Perem, no one could have stood against her. Nina gave her head a firm shake.
If you'd had Perem, you'd be completely addicted and well on your way to the Reaper's Bar.
No one spoke as they reached shore and disembarked as quickly and quietly as possible. Kaz gestured for them to get to their positions. He would approach from the north, Matthias and Wylan from the east. Nina and Jesper would be responsible for the guards on the western edge of the perimeter. Nina flexed her fingers. Silence four guards. That should be easy. A few weeks ago it would have been. Slow their pulses. Send them quietly into unconsciousness without ever letting an alarm sound. But now she wondered if it was the damp or her own nervous perspiration that made her clothes cling so uncomfortably to her skin. Too soon, she saw the shapes of the first two guards at their post. They leaned against the low stone wall, rifles propped beside them, their conversation rising and falling in a lazy hum.
Easy. Take 'em shut-eye, said Jesper.
Nina focused on the guards, letting her own body become attuned to theirs, seeking out their heartbeats, the rushing rhythm of their blood. It was like stumbling blind through the dark. There was simply nothing there. Dimly, she was aware of the suggestion of their frames, a trace of knowing. But that was all. She saw them with her eyes, heard them with her ears, but the rest was silence. That other sense inside her, the gift that had been there for as long as she could remember, the heart of the power that had been her constant companion since she was a child, had simply ceased to beat. All she could think of was Perem, the exhilaration, the ease, as if the universe lay at her fingertips.
What are you waiting for? Said Jesper.
Alerted by some sound or simply their presence, one of the guards glanced in their direction, peering into the shadows. He lifted his rifle and signaled to his companion to follow.
They're headed this way.
Jesper's hands went to his guns.
Oh, saints.
If Jesper had to shoot, the other guards would be alerted. The alarm would be raised. And this whole endeavor might go straight to hell. Nina focused with all her will. The hunger for Perem seized her, quaking through her body, digging into her skull with determined talons. She ignored it. One of the guards faltered, went to his knees.
Gillis?
Said the other guard.
What is it?
But he was not foolish enough to lower his weapon.
Halt!
He shouted in their direction, still trying to support his friend.
Identify yourselves!
Nina,
Jesper whispered furiously.
Do something!
Nina clenched her fist, trying to squeeze the guard's larynx shut to prevent him from calling for help.
Identify yourselves!
Jesper drew his gun.
No, no, no.
She was not going to be the reason this went wrong. Perem was supposed to kill her or leave her alone, not stick her in this miserable, powerless purgatory. Rage swept through Nina. Clean, perfect, focusing anger. Her mind reached out, and suddenly, she had hold of something. Not a body, but something. She caught a movement from the corner of her eye, a dim shape emerging from the shadows. A cloud of dust. It shot toward the standing guard. He swatted at it as if trying to drive away a swarm of mosquitoes, but it whirred faster. Faster. A nearly invisible blur. The guard opened his mouth to scream, and the cloud vanished. He let out a grunt and toppled backward. His compatriot was still balancing woozily on his knees. Nina and Jesper strode forward, and Jesper gave the kneeling guard a whack to the back of the head with the butt of his revolver. The man slumped to the ground, unconscious. Cautiously, they examined the other guard. He lay with eyes open, staring up at the starry sky. His mouth and nostrils were choked with fine white dust.
Did you do that?
Said Jesper. Had she? Nina felt like she could taste the dust in her own mouth. This shouldn't be possible. A Korporalnik could manipulate the human body, not inorganic matter. This was the work of a fabricator. A powerful one.
It wasn't you?
I appreciate the vote of confidence,
But this was all you, Gorgeous.
I didn't mean to kill him.
What had she meant to do? Just keep him quiet. Dust dribbled from the corner of his parted lips in a fine line.
There are two more guards, said Jesper. And we're already running late.
How about we just knock them over the head?
Sophisticated. I like it.
Nina felt a strange crawling sensation all over her body. But the need for Perem wasn't screaming through her any longer.
I didn't mean to kill him.
It didn't matter. It couldn't right now. The guards were down, and the plan was in motion.
Come on,
she said. Let's go get our girl.
7. Inej. Inej spent a sleepless night in the dark. When her stomach started to growl, she suspected it was morning, but no one arrived to remove her blindfold or offer her a tray. It seemed Van Eck didn't feel the need to coddle her anymore. He'd seen the fear in her clearly enough. That would be his leverage now. Not Bajan's sooly eyes and attempts at kindness. When her shivering had passed, she had struggled over to the vent, only to find that it had been bolted firmly shut. It had to have been done while she was in the theater. She wasn't surprised. She suspected Van Eck had left it unsecured just to give her hope, and then snatch it away. Eventually her mind had begun to clear, and as she'd lain in the silence, she'd made a plan. She would talk. There were plenty of safe houses and hideouts that the dregs had ceased to use because they'd been compromised or simply stopped being convenient. She'd start there. Then there were the supposedly secure places that belonged to some of the other barrel gangs. She knew of a converted shipping container in Third Harbor that the Liddies occasionally used. The Razor Gulls liked to hole up in a dingy hotel only a few streets over from the Slat. They called it Jam Tart House, because of its faded raspberry color and the white eaves that looked like they were decorated in icing. It should take Van Eck the better part of a night to search all the rooms. She would stall. She'd lead Van Eck and his men all over Ketterdam looking for Kaz. She'd never been much of an actress, but she'd been forced to tell her share of lies at the menagerie. And surely she'd spent enough time around Nina to learn a thing or two. When Bajan finally appeared and removed her blindfold, he had 6 armed guards with him. She wasn't sure how much time had passed, but she suspected the entire day had gone. Bajan's face looked sallow, and he had trouble meeting her eyes. She hoped he'd lain awake all night, the weight of her words heavy on his chest. He cut her ankles free but replaced the ropes with shackles. They clanked heavily as the guards led her down the hall. This time they took her through the back door of the theater, past flats of scenery, discarded props covered in dust, to the stage. The moth-eaten green curtains had been lowered so that the cavernous seating area and balconies were no longer visible. Closed off from the rest of the theater, warmed by the heat radiating from the stage lights, the set had a curious feeling of intimacy. It seemed less like a stage than a real surgeon's operating room. Inej's gaze touched the wrecked corner of the table where she'd lain the previous night, and then quickly darted away. Van Eck was waiting with the blade-nosed guard. Inej made a silent promise. Even if her plan failed, even if he smashed her legs to pulp, even if she never walked again, she'd find a way to pay him back in kind. She didn't know how, but she'd manage it. She'd survived too much to let Jan Van Eck destroy her.
"Are you afraid, Miss Gaffar?"
he asked.
"Yes."
"Such honesty. And are you prepared to tell me what you know?"
Inej took a deep breath and hung her head in what she hoped was a convincing display of reluctance.
"Yes,"
she whispered.
"Go on."
"How do I know you won't take the information and hurt me anyway?" she asked carefully.
"If the information is good, you have nothing to fear from me, Miss Gaffar. I am not a brute. I've employed the methods you are most accustomed to. Threats. Violence. The barrel has trained you to expect such treatment."
He sounded like Tanta Helene.
"Why do you make me do these things? You bring these punishments on yourself, girl."
"I have your word, then?" she asked. It was absurd. Vanek had made clear exactly what his word was worth when he'd broken their arrangement on Velgaluk and tried to have them all killed. But he nodded solemnly.
"You do,"
he said.
"The deal is the deal.
And Kaz must never know."
Of course,"
he said with some impatience. Inej cleared her throat. "The Blue Paradise is a club not far from the Slat. Kaz has used the rooms above it to stow stolen merchandise before." It was true, and the rooms should still be empty. Kaz had stopped using the place after he'd discovered one of the barkeeps was in debt to the Dime Lions. He didn't want anyone reporting on his comings and goings.
"Very good. What else?"
Inej worried her lower lip. "An apartment on Kolstrat. I don't remember the number. It has a view of the back entrances to some of the dens on East Stave. We've used it for stakeouts before."
"Is that so? Please, go on."
"There's a shipping container."
"Do you know something, Miss Scafar?"
Vanek stepped closer to her. There was no anger on his face. He looked almost gleeful.
"I don't think any of these places are real leads."
"I wouldn't."
"I think you intend to send me off chasing my tail while you wait for rescue or plan some other misbegotten escape attempt. But Miss Scafar, you needn't wait. Mr. Brecker is on his way to rescue you this very minute."
He gestured to one of the guards.
"Raise the curtain."
Inej heard the creak of ropes, and slowly the ragged curtains rose. The theater was packed, with guards lining the aisles. 30 at least, maybe more, all heavily armed with rifles and cudgels, an overwhelming display of force. "No," she thought, as Vanek's words sank in.
"That's right, Miss Scafar,"
said Vanek.
"Your hero is coming. Mr. Brecker likes to believe that he's the smartest person in Ketterdam, so I thought I'd indulge him and let him outsmart himself. I realize that instead of hiding you, I should simply let you be found."
Inej frowned. It couldn't be. It couldn't be. Had this merch actually outwitted Kaz? Had he used her to do it?
"I've been sending Bajan back and forth from my Il Comédier every day. I thought a Suli boy would be most conspicuous, and any traffic to a supposedly deserted island was bound to be remarked upon. Until tonight, I wasn't sure Brecker would bite. I was growing most anxious. But he did. Earlier this evening, two of his team were spotted on the docks, preparing a gondol to launch. That big Fjerdan and the Zemini boy. I did not have them intercepted. Much like you, they are mere pawns. Kuwei is the prize, and your Mr. Brecker is finally going to give me what I am owed."
"If you treated fairly with us, you'd have Kuwei already," she said. "We risked our lives to get him out of the ice court. We risked everything. You should have honored your word."
"A patriot would have offered to free Kuwei without the promise of reward."
"A patriot? Your scheme for Jurda Parem will bring chaos to Kerch."
"Markets are resilient. Kerch will endure. It may even be strengthened by the changes to come. But you and your ilk may not fare so well. How do you think the parasites of the barrel will manage when we are at war? When honest men have no coin to squander and put their minds to toil instead of vice."
Inej felt her lip curl. "Canal rats have a way of surviving, no matter how hard you try to stamp us out." He smiled.
"Most of your friends won't survive this night."
She thought of Jesper, Nina, and Matthias. Sweet Wylan, who deserved so much better than this filth for a father. It wasn't just about winning for Vanek. It was personal. "You hate us."
"Frankly, you are of little interest to me. An acrobat, or dancer, or whatever you were before you became a blight on this city. But I confess, Kaz Brecker does offend me. Vile, ruthless, amoral. He feeds corruption with corruption. Such a remarkable mind might have been put to great use. He might have ruled this city, built something, created profit that would have benefited all. Instead, he leeches off the work of better men.
Better men? Like you?
It pains you to hear it, but it's true. When I leave this world, the greatest shipping empire ever known will remain. An engine of wealth. A tribute to Gazan. And a sign of his favor. Who will remember a girl like you, Miss Gaffar? What will you and Kaz Brekker leave behind, but corpses to be burned on the Reaper's barge?
A shout came from outside the theater, and a sudden hush fell as the guards turned toward the entrance doors. Vanek consulted his watch.
Midnight on the dot. Brekker has a flair for the dramatic.
She heard another shout, then a brief rattle of gunfire. Six guards behind her, shackles at her feet. Helplessness rose up to choke her. Kaz and the others were about to walk into a trap, and she had no way to warn them.
I thought it best not to leave the perimeter completely unguarded, said Vanek. We wouldn't want to make it too easy and give away the game.
He'll never tell you where Kue is. Vanek's smile was indulgent.
I only wonder which will prove more effective. Torturing Mr. Brekker, or having him watch as I torture you.
He leaned in, his voice conspiratorial.
I can tell you. The first thing I'm going to do is peel off those gloves and break every one of his thieving fingers.
Inej thought of Kaz's pale trickster hands, the shiny rope of scar tissue that ran atop his right knuckle. Vanek could break every finger in both of Kaz's legs and he'd never say a word. But if his men stripped away Kaz's gloves... Inej still didn't understand why he needed them or why he'd fainted in the prison wagon on the way into the ice court. But she knew Kaz couldn't bear the touch of skin on skin. How much of this weakness could he hide? How quickly would Vanek locate his vulnerability, exploit it? How long until Kaz came undone? She couldn't bear it. She was glad she didn't know where Kue was. She would break before Kaz did. Boots were clattering down the hall, a thunder of footsteps. Inej surged forward and opened her mouth to cry out warning, but a guard's hand clamped down hard over her lips as she struggled in his arms. The door flew open. 30 guards raised 30 rifles and 30 triggers cocked.
The boy in the doorway flinched backward, his face white, his corkscrew brown curls disarrayed. He wore the Vanek livery of red and gold.
I... Mr. Vanek... he panted, hands held up in defense.
Stand down,
Vanek commanded the guards.
What is it?
The boy swallowed.
Sir, the lake house. They approached from the water.
Vanek stood, knocking over his chair.
Alice? They took her an hour ago.
Alice, Jan Vanek's pretty, pregnant wife. Inej felt hope spark, but she tamped down, afraid to believe.
They killed one of the guards and left the rest tied up in the pantry,
the boy continued breathlessly.
There was a note on the table. Bring it here,
Vanek barked. The boy strode down the aisle and Vanek snatched the note from his hand.
What does it say?
Asked Bajan. His voice was tremulous. Maybe Inej had been right about Alice and the music teacher. Vanek backhanded him.
If I find out you knew anything about this...
I didn't, Bajan cried.
I knew nothing. I followed your orders to the letter.
Vanek crumpled the note in his fist, but not before Inej made out the words in Kaz's jagged, unmistakable hand.
Noon. Tomorrow. Go to Midbridge. With her knives.
The note was weighted down with this... The boy reached into his pocket and drew out a tie pin, a fat ruby surrounded by golden laurel leaves. Kaz had stolen it from Vanek's back when they'd first been hired for the ice court job. Inej hadn't had the chance to fence it before they left Ketterdam. Somehow Kaz must have gotten hold of it again.
Brekker!
Vanek snarled, his voice taut with rage. Inej couldn't help it. She started to laugh. Vanek slapped her hard. He grabbed her tunic and shook her so that her bones rattled.
Brekker thinks we're playing a game, does he? She is my wife. She carries my heir.
Inej laughed even harder.
all the horrors of the past week rising from her chest in giddy peals. She wasn't sure she could have stopped if she wanted to. And you were foolish enough to tell Kaz all of that on Velgaluk.
Shall I have Franka fetch the mallet and show you just how serious I am?
Mr. Vanek, Bajan pleaded. But Inej was done being frightened of this man. Before Vanek could take another breath, she slammed her forehead upward, shattering his nose. He screamed and released her as blood gushed over his fine mercher's suit. Instantly, his guards were on her, pulling her back.
You little wretch,
Vanek said, holding a monogrammed handkerchief to his face.
You little whore! I'll take a hammer to both your legs myself!
Go on, Vanek. Threaten me. Tell me all the little things I am. You lay a finger on me and Kaz Brekker will cut the baby from your pretty wife's stomach and hang its body from a balcony at the exchange. Ugly words. Speech that pricked her conscience. But Vanek deserved the images she'd planted in his mind. Though she didn't believe Kaz would do such a thing, she felt grateful for each nasty, vicious thing Dirty Hands had done to earn his reputation. A reputation that would haunt Vanek every second until his wife was returned.
Be silent!
He shouted, spittle flying from his mouth. You think he won't? Inej taunted. She could feel the heat in her cheek from where his hand had struck her, could see the mallet still resting in the guard's hand. Vanek had given her fear, and she was happy to return it to him. Vile, ruthless, amoral. Isn't that why you hired Kaz in the first place? Because he does things that no one else dares. Go on, Vanek. Break my legs and see what happens. Dare him. Had she really believed a merch could outthink Kaz Brekker? Kaz would get her free, and then they'd show this man exactly what whores and canal rats could do. Console yourself, she said, as Vanek clutched the ragged corner of the table for support. Even better men can be bested.
8. Matthias. Matthias would be atoning for the mistakes he'd made in this life long into the next one, but he'd always believed that despite his crimes and failings, there was a core of decency inside him that could never be breached. And yet, he felt sure that if he had to spend another hour with Alice Van Eck, he might murder her just for the sake of a little quiet. The siege on the lake house had gone off with a precision that Matthias couldn't help but admire. Only 3 days after Inej was taken, Roddy had alerted Kaz to the lights that had appeared on Isle Comédier, and the fact that boats had been seen coming and going there at odd hours, often carrying a young Suli man. He'd quickly been identified as Adam Bajan, a music teacher indentured to Vanek for the last 6 months. He'd apparently joined the Vanek household after Weiland had left home, but Weiland wasn't surprised his father had secured professional music instruction for Alice.
Is she any good? Asked Jesper.
Weiland had hesitated, then said,
She's very enthusiastic.
It had been easy enough to surmise that Inej was being kept on Isle Comédier, and Nina had wanted to go after her immediately.
He didn't take her out of the city,
she said, cheeks glowing with color for the first time since she'd emerged from her battle with Barem.
It's obvious he's keeping her there.
But Kaz had simply gazed into the middle distance with that odd look on his face and said,
Too obvious.
Kaz,
how would you like 100 kruger?
What's the catch?
Exactly. Vanek's making it too easy. He's treating us like marks. But he isn't barrel-born, and we aren't a bunch of dumb culls ready to jump at the first shiny lure he flashes. Vanek wants us to think she's on that island. Maybe she is. But he'll have plenty of firepower waiting for us, too. Maybe even a few Grisha using Parem.
Always hit where the mark isn't looking, Weiland had murmured.
Sweet Gazen, said Jesper. You've been thoroughly corrupted.
Kaz had tapped his crow's head cane on the flagstones of the tomb floor.
Do you know what Vanek's problem is?
No honor, said Matthias.
Rotten parenting skills, said Nina.
Receding hairline? Offered Jesper.
No, Kaz said. Too much to lose. And he gave us a map to what to steal first.
He pushed himself to his feet and begun laying out the plans for kidnapping Alice. Instead of trying to rescue Inej as Vanek expected, they would force Vanek to trade her for his very pregnant wife. The first trick had been finding her.
Vanek was no fool. Kaz suspected that he'd gotten Alice out of the city as soon as he'd made his false deal with them, and their initial investigation supported that. Vanek wouldn't keep his wife in a warehouse or factory or industrial building, and she was at neither of the hotels he owned, or at the Vanek country house or his two farms near Ellesmere. It was possible he'd spirited her away to some farm or holding across the true sea, but Kaz doubted he'd put the woman carrying his heir through a grueling sea voyage. Vanek must be keeping property off the books, Kaz had said. Probably income, too. Jesper frowned. Isn't not paying your taxes, I don't know, sacrilegious? I thought he was all about serving Gazin.
Gazin and Kirch aren't the same thing, Weiland said.
Of course, uncovering those secret properties had meant gaining access to Cornelis Smeet's office and another series of deceptions. Matthias hated the dishonesty of it all, but he couldn't deny the value of the information they'd obtain. Thanks to Smeet's files, Kaz had located the lake house, a fine property 10 miles south of the city, easy to defend, comfortably appointed, and listed under the Hendricks name. Always hit where the mark isn't looking. It was sound thinking, Matthias could admit. Military thinking, in fact. When you were outgunned and outmanned, you sought the less defended targets. Vanek had expected a rescue attempt on Inej, so that was where he'd concentrated his forces. And Kaz had encouraged that, telling Matthias and Jesper to be as conspicuous as possible when they brought a gondol down to one of the private berths at Fifth Harbor. At 11 bells, Rotti and Specht had left Kuwe at Black Vale and, dressed in heavy cloaks to hide their faces, launched the boat, making a tremendous show of shouting to supposed compatriots setting out from their berths, most of them confused tourists who weren't sure why strange men were yelling at them from a gondol. It had taken everything in Matthias not to argue when Kaz had paired Nina with Jesper in the assault on the lake house, despite the fact that he knew the partnership made sense. They needed to take out the guards quietly to prevent anyone from raising an alarm or panicking. Matthias' combat training made that possible, as did Nina's Grisha abilities, so they'd been split up. Jesper and Weiland had noisier talents, so they would enter the fray only as a last resort. Also, Matthias knew if he started trailing after Nina on missions, like some kind of watchdog, she'd put her hands on those glorious hips and demonstrate her knowledge of profanity in several different languages. Still, he was the only one besides perhaps Kuwe who knew how she'd suffered since they'd returned from the ice court. It had been hard to watch her go. They'd approached from across the lake and made quick work of the few guards on the perimeter. Most of the villas along the shore were empty, as it was too early in the season for the weather to have gotten properly warm. But lights had burned in the windows of the Vanek house, or rather, the Hendricks house. The property had belonged to Weiland's mother's family for generations before Vanek had ever set foot through the door. It almost didn't feel like a break-in. One of the guards had actually been dozing in the gazebo. Matthias didn't realize there had been a casualty until the count on the guards had come up short, but there hadn't been time to question Nina and Jesper about what had gone wrong. They tied up the remaining guards, herded them and the rest of the staff into the pantry, and then swept up the stairs to the second floor, wearing the masks of the Comédie Brute. They'd stopped outside the music room, where Alice was perched precariously on the bench of a pianoforte. Though they had expected to find her asleep, she was laboring her way through some piece of music.
"Saints, what is that noise?"
Nina had whispered.
"I think it's Be Still, Little Bumblebee,"
said Weiland from behind the mask and horns of his gray imp ensemble.
"But it's hard to tell."
When they'd entered the music room, the silky-haired terrier at her feet had the sense to growl, but poor, pretty, pregnant Alice had just looked up from her sheet music and said,
"Is this a play?"
"Yes, love," said Jesper gently. "And you're the star." They tucked her into a warm coat, then shepherded her out of the house and into the waiting boat. She'd been so docile that Nina had become concerned.
"Maybe she's not getting enough blood to her brain," she'd murmured to Matthias.
Matthias hadn't been sure how to account for Alice's demeanor.
He remembered his mother muddling the simplest things when she was pregnant with his baby sister. She'd walked all the way down to the village from their little house before she'd realized she was wearing her boots on the wrong feet. But halfway back to the city, when Nina had bound Alice's hands and tied a blindfold over her eyes, securing it tightly to the neat braids coiled atop her head, the reality of her situation must have started to sink in. She'd begun to sniffle, wiping her running nose on her velvet sleeve. The sniffling became a kind of wobbly, deep breathing, and by the time they'd gotten Alice settled comfortably at the tomb and even found a little cushion for her feet, she'd let out a long wail.
"I want to go home," she cried. "I want my dog."
From then on, the crying hadn't stopped. Kaz had eventually thrown his hands up in frustration, and they'd all stepped outside the tomb to try to find some quiet.
"Are pregnant women always like this?" Nina had moaned.
Matthias glanced inside the stone hall.
"Only the kidnapped ones."
"I can't hear myself think," she said.
"Maybe if we took the blindfold off," Weiland suggested, "we could wear our Comédier brute masks."
Kaz shook his head.
"We can't risk leading Vanek back here."
"She's going to make herself ill," said Matthias.
"We're in the middle of a job," Kaz said. "There's a lot that has to happen before the exchange tomorrow. Someone find a way to shut her up, or I will."
"She's a frightened girl,"
Weiland protested.
"I didn't ask for a description."
But Weiland kept on.
"Kaz, promise me you won't. Before you finish that sentence, I want you to think about what a promise from me costs and what you're willing to pay for it."
"It's not her fault her parents shoved her into a marriage with my father.
Alice isn't here because she did something wrong. She's here because she's leverage."
"She's just a pregnant girl."
"Getting pregnant isn't actually a special talent. Ask any luckless girl in the barrel."
"Inej wouldn't want..."
In the space of a breath, Kaz had shoved Weiland against the tomb wall with his forearm, the crow head of his cane wedged beneath Weiland's jaw.
"Tell me my business again."
Weiland swallowed, parted his lips.
"Do it," said Kaz, "and I'll cut the tongue from your head and feed it to the first stray cat I find."
"Kaz," Jesper said cautiously. Kaz ignored him. Weiland's lips flattened into a thin, stubborn line. The boy really didn't know what was good for him. Matthias wondered if he'd have to try to intercede on Weiland's behalf, but Kaz had released him.
"Someone stick a cork in that girl before I get back," he said,
and strode off into the graveyard. Matthias rolled his eyes heavenward. These lunatics all needed a solid 6 months in boot camp and possibly a sound beating.
"Best not to mention Inej," Jesper said as Weiland dusted himself off. "You know, if you feel like continuing to live."
Weiland shook his head.
"But isn't this all about Inej?" "No, it's all about the grand plan, remember?"
Nina said with a snort.
"Getting Inej away from Vanek is just the first phase."
They headed back into the tomb. In the lantern light, Matthias could see that Nina's color was good. Maybe the distraction of the break-in at the lake house had been a positive thing, though he couldn't ignore the fact that a guard had died during a mission that wasn't meant to have a body count. Alice had quieted and was sitting with her hands folded on her belly, releasing small, unhappy hiccups. She made a lackluster attempt at removing her blindfold, but Nina had been clever with the knots. Matthias glanced at Kuwe, who was perched across from her at the table. The shoeboy just shrugged. Nina sat down next to Alice.
"Would you, like some tea? With honey?"
Alice asked.
I think we have sugar." "I only like tea with honey and lemon."
Nina looked like she might tell Alice exactly where she could put her honey and lemon, so Matthias said hurriedly,
"How would you like a chocolate biscuit?"
"Oh, I love chocolate."
Nina's eyes narrowed.
"I don't remember saying you could give away my biscuits."
"It's for a good cause," Matthias said, retrieving the tin.
He'd purchased the biscuits in the hope of getting Nina to eat more.
"Besides, you've barely touched them."
"I'm saving them for later," said Nina with a sniff, "and you should not cross me when it comes to sweets."
Jesper nodded. She's like a dessert-hoarding dragon.
Alice's head had swiveled right and left behind her blindfold.
You all sound so young, she said. Where are your parents?
Wylan and Jesper burst out laughing.
Why is that funny?
It's not, Nina said reassuringly.
They're just being idiots.
Hey now, said Jesper. We're not the ones dipping into your cookie stash.
I don't let just anyone into my cookie stash, Nina said with a wink.
She certainly doesn't, Matthias grumped, somewhere between delighted to see Nina back to herself and jealous that Jesper was the one making her smile. He needed to dunk his head in a bucket. He was behaving like a besotted ninny.
So, Jesper said, throwing an arm around Alice's shoulder, tell us about your stepson.
Why?
Alice asked.
Are you going to kidnap him, too?
Jesper scoffed.
I doubt it. I hear he's 12 kinds of trouble to keep around.
Wylan crossed his arms. I hear he's talented and misunderstood. Alice frowned.
I can understand him perfectly well. He doesn't mumble or anything. In fact, he sounds a bit like you.
Wylan flinched as Jesper doubled over with laughter.
And yes, he's very talented. He's studying music in Belent.
But what is he like? Jesper asked. Any secret fears he confided? Bad habits? Ill-conceived infatuation?
Wylan shoved the tin of biscuits at Alice.
Have another cookie. She's had three, protested Nina. Wylan was always nice to my birds. I miss my birds. And Rufus?
I want to go home.
And then she was blubbering again. Nina had plunked her head down on the table in defeat.
Well done. I thought we might actually get a moment of silence. I've sacrificed my biscuits for nothing.
Have none of you people ever encountered a pregnant woman before?
Matthias grumbled. He remembered his mother's discomfort and moods well, though he suspected Alice's behavior might owe nothing to the child she was carrying. He tore a strip from one of the ragged blankets in the corner.
Here, he said to Jesper. Dip this in water so we can make a cool compress.
He squatted down and said to Alice,
I'm going to take off your shoes.
Why?
She said.
Because your feet are swollen, and it will soothe you to have them rubbed.
Oh, now this is interesting, Nina said.
Don't get any ideas.
Too late,
she said, wiggling her toes. Matthias slid off Alice's shoes and said,
You haven't been kidnapped. You're just being held for a brief time. By tomorrow afternoon, you'll be home with your dog and your birds. You know that no one is going to hurt you, yes?
I'm not so sure.
Well, you can't see me, but I'm the biggest person here, and I promise that no one will hurt you.
Even as he spoke the words, Matthias knew he might be lying. Alice was currently having her feet rubbed and a cool towel placed on her forehead, in a pit full of some of the deadliest vipers slithering the streets of this misbegotten city.
No, he said, it's very important that you stay calm so that you don't make yourself ill. What helps to cheer you?
I like to go for walks by the lake.
All right, maybe we can go for a walk later. What else?
I like doing my hair.
Matthias gave Nina a meaningful look. She scowled.
Why do you assume I know how to arrange hair?
Because yours always looks so nice.
Wait, said Jesper. Is he being charming?
He peered at Matthias.
How do we know this isn't an imposter?
Perhaps someone could do your hair, said Nina grudgingly.
Anything else? Asked Matthias.
I like singing, said Alice.
Wylan shook his head frantically, mouthing no, no, no.
Shall I sing?
Alice asked hopefully.
Bajan says that I'm good enough to be on the stage.
Maybe we save that for later, suggested Jesper.
Alice's lower lip began to wobble like a plate about to break.
Sing, Matthias blurted. By all means, sing.
And then the real nightmare began. It wasn't that Alice was so bad. She just never stopped. She sang between bites of food. She sang while she was walking through the graves. She sang from behind a bush when she needed to relieve herself. When she finally dozed off, she hummed in her sleep.
Maybe this was Vanek's plan all along,
Kaz said glumly when they'd assembled outside the tomb again.
To drive us mad? Said Nina. It's working.
Jesper shut his eyes and groaned.
Diabolical.
Kaz consulted his pocket watch.
Nina and Matthias should get going anyway. If you get into position early, you can catch a few hours of sleep.
They had to be careful coming and going from the island, so they couldn't afford to wait until dawn to assume their posts.
You'll find the masks and capes at the Furrier, Kaz continued. Look for the golden badger on the sign. Get as close to the lid as possible before you start handing them out, and then head south. Don't stay in any one place too long. I don't want you drawing too much attention from the bosses.
Kaz met each of their gazes in turn.
Everyone needs to be in final position before noon. Wylan on the ground. Matthias on the roof of the Emporium Comedy. Jesper will be across from you on the roof of the Ambers Hotel. Nina, you'll be on the hotel's third floor. The room has a balcony overlooking Godmed Bridge. Make sure your sight lines are clear. I want you with eyes on Vanek from moment one. He'll be planning something, and we need to be ready.
Matthias saw Nina cast a furtive glance at Jesper, but all she said was,
No mourners.
No funerals, they replied. Nina headed toward where the rowboat was moored. Kaz and Wyland stepped back into the tomb, but before Jesper could vanish inside, Matthias blocked his path.
What happened at the lake house?
What do you mean?
I saw the look she just gave you.
Jesper shifted uneasily.
Why don't you ask her?
Because Nina will claim she's fine until she's suffering too much to form the words.
Jesper touched his hands to his revolvers.
All I'm going to say is be careful. She's not quite herself.
What does that mean? What happened at the Hendricks house?
We ran into some trouble, admitted Jesper.
A man died.
Men die all the time in Ketterdam. Just stay alert. She may need backup.
Jesper darted through the door, and Matthias released a growl of frustration. He hurried to catch up to Nina, turning Jesper's warning over in his mind, but said nothing as she stepped into the boat and he launched them into the canal. The smartest thing he'd done since they'd returned from the ice court was to give Kaz the remaining parem. It hadn't been an easy decision. He was never sure how deep the well inside Kaz was, where to locate the limits of what he would or would not do. But Nina had no hold on Kaz, and when she'd crept into Matthias's bed the night of the Smeek job, she'd been certain he'd made the right choice, because Jell knew. Matthias had been ready to give her anything she wanted, if she would just keep kissing him. She'd woken him from the dream that had been plaguing him since the ice court. One moment he had been wandering in the cold, blind from the snow, wolves howling in the distance, and in the next he'd been awake, Nina beside him, all warmth and softness. He thought again of what she'd said to him on the ship, when she'd been in the worst grips of the Parem. Can you even think for yourself? I'm just another cause for you to follow. First it was Jarl Brum, and now it's me. I don't want your cursed oath. He didn't think she had meant it, but the words haunted him. As a Druskeller, he'd served a corrupt cause. He could see that now. But he'd had a path, a nation. He'd known who he was and what the world would ask of him. Now he was sure of nothing but his faith in Jell and the vow he'd made to Nina. I have been made to protect you. Only in death will I be kept from this oath. Had he simply substituted one cause for another? Was he taking shelter in his feelings for Nina because he was afraid of choosing a future for himself? Matthias put his mind to rowing. Their fates would not be settled this night, and they had much to do before dawn came. Besides, he liked the rhythm of the canals at night, the street lamps reflected off the water, the silence, the feeling of passing unseen through the sleeping world, glimpsing a light in a window. Someone rising restless from his bed to close a curtain or look out at the city. They tried to come and go from Black Vale as little as possible during the day, so this was the way he'd gotten to know Ketterdam. One night he'd glimpsed a woman in a bejeweled evening gown at her dressing table.
unpinning her hair. A man, her husband, Matthias assumed, had stepped behind her and taken over the task, and she'd turned her face up to him and smiled. Matthias couldn't name the ache he felt in that moment. He was a soldier. So was Nina. They weren't meant for such domestic scenes.